No, Matt's not coming tonight.
Spread out.
Okay, folks, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Prior to standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, I would just like to announce the passing of Mrs. Teresa Cassidy Albany. She passed on February 22nd at the age of 91. She was a lifelong Chester Heights resident and the mother of former Mayor John Albany. Would you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everyone tonight to the March 4th regular council meeting of Chester Heights Borough. First up on the agenda is roll call. Present tonight we have Mayor Stacy Smith, Solicitor Jerry Montella, Councilpersons Philip Locke, Jean Marie Ellis, Teresa Gustinelli, myself, Steve Cocosa, and Susan Clark. Not present tonight are Borough Engineer Matt Hootman and Councilperson Jordan Goldberg. At this time, I would turn the floor over to Solicitor Jerry Montella for the start of the public hearing.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of council and public. The purpose of this public hearing tonight is to consider the adoption of the Borough's nuisance regulations proposed ordinance number 211. The Borough published notice as required by the Borough Code 3301.2. The Borough published notice of a summary and a reasonable detail that I prepared of the ordinance in the Delaware County Daily Times. It was published on February 15th and February 22nd. I also provided full text to the Daily Times. I don't believe we have official proof of publication, but upon receipt by the Borough, we'll amend the application accordingly. On February 8th, 2019, I also provided a copy of the full text of the ordinance to the law librarian of the Delaware County Law Library, along with an attestation, which is marked as B2. I will mark the notice of summary to the Daily Times as B1, make it part of the record. The proposed ordinance would repeal the current Chapter 123 related to nuisances, which has two parts, Article 1, which is vegetation, and Article 2, related to littering. The prior ordinance of, or the current ordinance, was enacted back in 1991. This proposed ordinance would replace the ordinance with a general chapter, Section 1, on property maintenance, incorporating landscaping and littering, refuse, rubbish, and create a Section 2, a new Section 2 related to running bamboo. Council may recall that in September 2017, a hearing was held related to the possible adoption of the ordinance. Since the hearing, the proposed ordinance has been revised to address height restrictions on lawns, amount of fines related to violations, elimination of diseased or dangerous trees on private property, and also to limit this ordinance to borrowed roadways. The proposed ordinance, I'm not going to read all of it, it's rather lengthy, but I will highlight a portion of it. An ordinance of the Borough of Chester Heights repealing Chapter 123 nuisance and enacting new Chapter 123 to establish nuisance regulations for property maintenance of landscaping, prohibiting the outdoor storage of refuse, including junk vehicles, and enacting Chapter 124, establishing regulations for the planting and growing and removal of running bamboo. It has a Section 1, Chapter 123 related to property maintenance, and under landscaping, trees, shrubbery, lawns, hedges, or other landscaping shall be maintained and kept from becoming overgrown and in slightly or in any state of neglect or disrepair. It has provision related to encroaching on sidewalks. Lawns in excess of 6 inches in height constitute a violation for the purpose of the chapter, a lawn is defined, a meadow is exempt, a wetland is exempt. There's a section on refuse that premises and all structures be kept free of all nuisances, unsanitary conditions, and any hazards. Notification provision has the borough code enforcement officer, a duly appointed representative of the borough, to provide written notice containing the nature of the issue. And essentially, the violation would be a $300 fine, a fine not exceeding $300, plus attorney's fees, notice fees, and costs for each day that the violation continues. The charge would be a lien against the real estate of the property owner. There's, in addition, there's an administrative fee of 10%. With regard to running bamboo, the purpose and intent was to protect private and public property from the damaging spread of running bamboo grasses for the borough. There's a definition clause related to bamboo, bamboo owners, and it creates a buffer zone, which is essentially in any area located within 20 feet of the right-of-way of a dedicated borough roadway. It has regulations and limitations on existing bamboo and what should a property owner, bamboo owner, do with regard to it. I will read the applicability. This ordinance shall not be deemed to alter any rights of common law or otherwise that any property owner may have to recover the cost of removal of running bamboo on their own property against another property owner from whose property the bamboo has spread. Nothing in the ordinance shall require the borough to become involved in litigation between adjoining property owners. However, the requirements of this order may be cited in any private litigation between such individuals. Whenever a complaint is received by the borough regarding the encroachment of any bamboo into the buffer zone of any public property right-of-way or public easements, the borough shall give notice. There's also a notice and compliance provision related to 30 days, and again, the violations and penalties for such violation would be pay a fine not exceeding $300 per day for each day the violation persists, and the effective date would be 30 days after the enactment by council. With that said, I will turn over the public hearing to the council president and council for any comment or questions they may have. After that, once council has the opportunity to speak, council will permit questions and public comment from any resident or property owner within the borough to be heard. And just a reminder, before someone speaks from the public, please advise what your name is and your address within the borough of Chester Heights. So with that, Mr. President,
thank you, Jerry.
It's yours to make any comments.
First off, Philip, I'm going to pass this to you since you shepherded this from the beginning. I'll let you have first word.
All right. I just want to give a little history on why we made this effort. First of all, I am the chair of the ordinance committee, so it fell to me to try to put together the verbiage of a good ordinance. This stems, the two primary things is, Mr. Montella said, is the bamboo and also the grass height. And both of these issues came before us over the years. I mean, this is not a new issue that residents have brought to the council, that there are issues, if we take the bamboo as an example, that bamboo is starting to encroach on property boundaries and concerns of residents that bamboo is going to come over, you know, from a neighbor property onto their property. And prior to this, there's been no remedy for a resident to address the incursion of bamboo, which is basically a nuisance weed that moves very quickly. There's also issues around protecting borough assets, primarily our roadways, that if bamboo gets under the roadways, it could damage our roadways, and we have no remedy right now to protect those borough assets. So over the years, we've had several residents come and ask us about protection against bamboo. On the grass side, we've had issues, especially along Valley Brook, where grass has grown to a height where it's made visibility coming around corners or trying to turn onto Valley Brook an issue. We've also had issues where people tried to sell property and then adjoining yards were not mowed and it reduced property value. So we also took it upon in this effort to ensure that, as good neighbors, people are just maintaining their, front yards nicely to maintain the neighborhood look and keep our property values up. So We've worked on this literally in different versions for years. I do want to thank our solicitor's help for helping me get the right verbiage. We've been through several rounds and the council's had lots of input, and we hope that this is acceptable to the community and gives remedy that neighbors can interact with neighbors about, you know, nuisance issues. And just to also point out, previously, one of the things we're trying to correct is that in the nuisance ordinance, the fines used to be $1,000 a day with potential jail time, and that had to be remedied also. So that's a bit of the history on where this ordinance has originally started and where we are today. So we hope to hear your thoughts on it, and I'm sure there's going to be positive and negatives. We've all talked about them, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. So thank you for coming out tonight.
Any further comment from council members at this point? Okay, I'll open up the floor to the audience. Would you please state your name and address prior to your comments or concerns?
Can I do it by row?
Yes, sir.
Greg Chestnut, 317 Wilds Way. Two questions. So in the instance of two private property owners, with one having encroaching bamboo on the other, what does this ordinance do to provide relief to that individual owner? Anything at all? Or?
There's no enforcement by the borough.
No, so basically would lead to civil action between the two parties?
But what it allows is there, you know, the resident who's having the issue with the bamboo coming on the property is now an ordinance to take to a civil matter and say, you know, right now there's no remedy, there's no...
Right, but there's nothing in the ordinance that says that it's a violation. There's no violation there, basically, of the ordinance if two property owners...
It's a violation, but the borough does not have to get involved in the litigation.
But it may.
Yeah. So, in that situation, a private homeowner versus a private homeowner always has an opportunity to for self help. So, in other words, there's a legal remedy of self help between property owner and property owner. You have that now.
Right.
If there's someone with bamboo that's encroaching on another person's property, that property owner would go to that neighbor and say, hey, look, you know, if there's an encroachment, if the property owner doesn't do anything with regard to that encroachment, the property owner now has a right to self-help to make whatever necessary remedy that is needed, and then for whatever cost, that property owner would go against that neighbor who's created the encroachment.
And then a second question. The ordinance refers to encroachment upon borough dedicated roadways. What about state roads?
That's a PennDOT issue. Certainly PennDOT has its own regulations with regard to encroachment into their public right of way, and the ordinance doesn't provide a remedy for that.
But so if someone had an issue with bamboo encroaching on Delaware Road, they would contact PennDOT?
Correct.
That was a recent change made in the last edition. We decided not to get involved in PennDOT.
Yep,
issues.
That's reasonable. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Ron Sirk, and I live at 363 Valley Brook, right up the street here. I actually came to this because one of the council members, when this was first proposed, had sent the ordinance to me and just asked me for my comments. And
sure.
I sent a memo to her. And then I just saw this notice coming up, and I looked at the revised ordinance, and it really didn't address a number of the issues that I had raised. It addressed some of them, but not all of them. So what I did is I've actually gone back and redid my memo, which I'd like to hand up.
Sure.
And just talk about a couple of the points.
Okay, that's fine.
I made three copies of it. It's great. Short. It's only a page and a half.
Mr. Sirk, we'll make that part of the record.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
But what I wanted to really talk about is, that I think,
first of all, I have no comment on the bamboo section at all. That makes total sense to me, and I don't know anything about bamboo, quite frankly. But on the first part, and I come to this from the standpoint of being a lawyer who's dealt with, unfortunately, over 45 years, a lot of disputes between neighbors. And what I'm afraid that this does is it creates a situation where you have very vague discretionary language that you're introducing into an ordinance that's replacing language that essentially does the same thing in the old ordinance that has a long history of being interpreted in courts and people know what it means. Now what you're talking about in this new ordinance is, and really my comments are on the very first section more than anything else. Section A, it says, trees, shrubbery, lawns, hedges, and other landscaping shall be maintained and kept from becoming overgrown and unsightly or in any state of neglect or disrepair. None of those are legal concepts. They're all in the eyes of the beholder. And the beholder is going to be the neighbor, typically. And usually it's going to come in front of a council in a complaint because neighbors don't get along. If the neighbors get along, what's going to happen is one neighbor is going to go to the other and talk to them about it. If you got your house up for sale and your neighbor's not mowing the lawn and you know the neighbor, you're going to walk over and say, hey, I got some people coming over. Could you cut your grass? You're not going to go to the borough council and seek an enforcement action. So what you're doing, in my opinion, is you're encouraging what would normally be situations that should be dealt with neighbor to neighbor in a small community and turning it into a legal issue where the standards are not well established and are very discretionary. And, you know, that's appropriate for a condominium community, but we're not a condominium community. We've got, you know, we've got townhouses here. We've got houses that have been built in the last year. And we've got houses like mine that were built in 1735. You know, there's the differences in the properties are so different in the neighborhood. What it takes to care for them, what people like, differs greatly. If we all paid for the, if we all paid a condominium fee, we're in a condominium community, then we have a standard that we can all look at. But here there are no standards, and all I think all you're going to be doing is you're going to be creating problems among neighbors that are going to get escalated to a legal issue when they shouldn't be a legal issue. They're not, this language has nothing to do with public health, safety, and welfare. It just says if they become overgrown or unsightly or in any state of neglect or disrepair, that violates the ordinance. Nothing to do with public health, safety, and welfare. The current ordinance, by contrast, says exactly the same thing, but it relates to, it says, weeds, bushes, if they encroach on a sidewalk, street, alley, or roadway, to the inconvenience, danger, annoyance, or impediment of persons passing on the streets or sidewalks, or they prevent the clear view of motor traffic. They're focused on things that affect things that government should be concerned about, not aesthetics. I mean, government really should not be concerned about aesthetics, but people have very different views on what aesthetics are. Some people like to have grass growing and be a kind of a meadow environment, even not in a meadow. That's a type of landscaping. You're, one of the things I noticed is you have your grass has to be cut to 6 inches. You know, in the springtime, you can't keep your grass at 6 inches. You can't keep your grass at 4 inches. You can't keep it at 3. It grows like crazy, and you're constantly on a lawnmower. Is somebody, if there's a dispute between neighbors, are they going to come to borough council because your grass is 8 inches high? I mean, and that has nothing to do with public health, safety, and welfare. If it's blocking the view of a road, another story. That's not what the ordinance does. So that's where my main objection is to this. There's a few other things that I've mentioned in here that I'll essentially leave to my memo, to my written comments. There's one specific thing on language that I'd like to raise that I'd really also like you to very seriously consider. It's in section 123.3b, which is the enforcement section. And that section, I think that's the section that deals with what's viewed as an emergency situation, where you can go, if the nature of the condition is found to exist on the property, that it's considered a threat of imminent harm or danger, then you don't have to give notice to the landowner. And I make a suggestion, I think it's kind of hard to imagine, unless you are standing there and the tree is actually falling over, that landscaping issues are going to be that serious that if the complaint comes to the borough and an enforcement officer sees a problem, that they can't make an effort to pick up the phone and call that landlord or send somebody over to knock on the door. Again, we're only talking about 2.5 square mile borough here. Not like anybody has to travel far. So I propose language that says that you have to, that the borough should make at least a good faith effort to contact the landowner before they go into court for an ex parte order. I think that's only fair to all the residents, and it's no burden at all, but at least gives the person some advance notice so that they can do whatever they feel is appropriate. And I'll just leave the rest of my comments to what I submitted in writing. Does anybody have any questions?
No, we don't, but thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, second row, continuing on. Anyone?
Yeah, I
sure.
Yeah, my name's Don Garahan. I live at 240 Llewellyn Road. I just have a question. I guess, Jerry, you said that the in terms of the buffer zone only pertains to public land or highways or whatever?
It's a right-of-way of dedicated borough
right.
roadway, so it needs to be a buffer zone. And it's 20 feet on
right.
the right-of-way.
Now, the prior law, I guess, to what you removed, just so I understand, there was a buffer zone on any property and up the side of the property 10 feet past the house. Is that correct?
I wasn't here in 2017, so I'm not quite sure what the revised language was. I think it had to do with a public road, not just simply the borough roadway.
Right. So it's illegal at this point for the bamboo to be, in other words, within 10 feet of my property line, if you own
bamboo and it's within a 20-foot right-of-way of the borough roadway,
right.
it could be potentially a violation of this particular ordinance.
Is it illegal for the bamboo to be between two private properties to be within 10 feet of my property line? Have you made that?
Well, I don't know. With regard to the illegality, certainly still is. If your bamboo is encroaching on another person's property, okay, your adjacent neighbor,
right?
Certainly, that's an issue that you should be correcting if you're given some type of notice from your neighbor.
Correct. No, I
because
yeah,
there's
okay.
an encroachment.
Right.
So, under D, where it says buffer zone, it's also defined as any area located from the property boundary of the front yard and is extending through the side yards and 30 feet back into the rear yard from the rear edge of the building footprint.
Okay, so that's
our building inspector is not here tonight, correct?
Right.
He is not.
So I think he might be able to comment more than I would with regard
right.
to his
right.
personal opinion.
Right. Okay. Okay, no, I understand. Thank you.
Now, bottom line is, I think if there's an encroachment of your bamboo on another person's, on your neighbor's property, then there should
it's
be...
It's not my... It's,
I'm just
being,
saying, from
I'm
any person's property, then there should be...
Encroached.
Then there should be a remedy from either being encroached or being
yeah,
encroached.
Right. Right, I got you.
Thank you.
One question I have. Philip, have we identified any properties in a borough that meet the criteria for the 20-foot buffer as far as a borough roadway? We've spoken about this numerous times.
There may be some properties on Wawa Road.
Well, that's a state road.
State road. So, I'm not aware of any
okay.
at this time.
Okay.
I mean, most of the bamboo I see is impinging state roads. We had language, just for everybody's sake,
in very bad winter weather like we've seen, one of the problems, and this would not be impacted here because we took the state roads out, is bamboo gets heavy and falls over. And it has actually laid upon it, you know, the lanes of Valley Brook as an example. And we had discussions, I mean, about whether to include, you know, PennDOT roads because of that issue, and that would be a public safety issue. But again, the ability to really enforce issues on the state road, you know, we chose not to do that. But that's where especially becomes a safety issue, is when it falls over. Then it springs back up when it's warm, and then the next week, you know, if it's taller, it falls down again. So, but I'm not aware of specifically any roads right now.
Sure. Okay, continuing on in row number two, yes.
I'm Marta Driscoll, 458A Lanai Road.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Marta Driscoll, 458A Lanai Road. Thank you. So my comments mirror the gentleman's from 363 Valley Brook Road. On section 123.1, I believe that the very first paragraph is very subjective. And like he said, it's in the eyes of the beholder as to how it would be interpreted. And also paragraph A from 123.2 in the refuse, there's also a lot of definitions and things that are not defined, like nuisances and unsanitary conditions. I feel like they're, you know, not defined in the code here. I'm also concerned about not to be committed to the imminent harm and threat to general public and the borough's ability to just come onto my land and do what they see fit and then charge me for it without a phone call. I think of all reasonable landowners here in Chester Heights, and if somebody picked up the phone and said there was a dangerous condition on my land, I wouldn't want it to continue, and would definitely work towards ameliorating it to the satisfaction of the borough. So I just want to let you know that I have the same concerns, and I would hope that we could revert a little bit more back to the language we had in the original ordinance, which was more structurally and legally sound and less subjective. As for the bamboo ordinance, we're good.
Great, thank you. Anyone else in this second row? Yes.
Ann Searle, 360 and 364 Valley.
Sorry.
Ann Searle, 360 and 364 Valley Brook Road.
Thank you.
I also want to mirror what Mr. Serkin said, and I'm concentrating mostly on section 123.2 refuse. None of the terms in here really are legal definitions, and there are no definitions provided of some of these terms that seem very nebulous and vague, such as nuisance, obnoxious growth, paper, garbage, trash, rubbish, debris of any description or nature. So my concern is that the interpretation of these terms by different people without context of what they mean, could, you know, they could be widely interpreted.
Sure.
Okay, that's all.
May I take a comment?
Yes.
That is the current ordinance, by the way. You're all commenting on the current ordinance. The nuisance ordinance has not been changed in decades. And the only thing that's been changed that we're is issues about the grass and issues about bamboo. Yes.
That's not actually correct. The difference is not so much the language of referring to the types of rubbish and things like that, but it's the new ordinance does not tie the violation into public health, safety, and welfare. It divorces it from it. That's the problem. So it leaves it much more subjective, and it becomes then a question of, do you not like the way something looks, rather than the current ordinance, which is what is there a risk to the community in some fashion? That difference in focus is huge, because a governing body should be concerned about the latter,
well,
but not so much about the former.
There are other reasons. I mean, property values and look of the neighborhood is also part of this. But did we change that language? I mean, with respect to trash and nuisance stuff, we did change that language. As far as I know, did we?
Look at the very this section 123.1A.
So what the borough has done here is expanded it to some extent, because some of that language is not in the current ordinance. However, there is a whereas clause with regard to what the purpose and intent, and if one could argue, I'm not going to get into a legal argument tonight with your client, but one could argue before court that it certainly is within the bounds of the municipality to bring an action based upon the public safety, wealth, and health care. You got it, you know. The building inspector or would go out onto the property, take a look at it from a practical standpoint, and make a determination whether or not it meets or doesn't meet the ordinance. So I understand your argument with regard to the notice requirement. Certainly, it's been my experience for the many years I've been here that. The building inspector, the council, and everybody associated with the borough would certainly make a good faith effort to try and resolve an issue before it actually went into litigation. To be a neighborly issue and try and work with the neighbors, and as opposed to going right in and doing something from a legal standpoint.
Well, I guess what it comes down to is what do you do when one neighbor comes and says, my next door neighbor's not taking care of his lawn. It looks like hell. I cut it in 3 weeks and it's springtime and the grass is growing like crazy and I'm getting crabgrass seeds on my lawn. Are you going to start a legal enforcement action in a situation like that?
Well, if I just make comment, that's not uncommon. I mean, we've had issues with noise. We've had issues with trash on properties. We've had issues with vacant properties. And if it can't be resolved by calling them up, what typically is done is our zoning officer.
Code enforcement
talks with them, and if that can't be resolved, I don't think we've ever taken anybody ever.
But this, under the current ordinance, you wouldn't be able to. But under the new ordinance, you would, because the new ordinance does not have language that relates the violation directly to public health, safety, and welfare like the prior ordinance does. That was really the issue. It's a drafting issue, Jerry.
Now, I hear your argument. I understand your comment. I believe that the ordinance does allow for the borough to base its action on the health, safety, and general welfare of the residents. I think from a practical experience, as long as I've been involved with the borough, there's always been an effort by the building code enforcement officer under direction by council to work with the neighbors in a reasonable manner and to try and work out anything that has to do with a nuisance on someone's property related to a complaint by another individual in the borough. And that's the best way I can explain it.
I don't want to keep going back and forth on this, but you used the word that makes sense to me, which is nuisance. And that's a defined legal term. I mean, you know what that is, and I know what that is. But unsightly hedges is not a defined legal term. But that now becomes an unsightly hedge becomes a violation of the ordinance, which is not what I think you really want. But you're allowing it, and what you're doing is you just seem to me you're opening up an area for neighbors to fight each other to involve the township.
That's
disputes between neighbors.
That's the purpose of a public hearing, to obtain public comment and provide council with comment for or against a particular ordinance. And that's why we're here tonight.
I do want to say one thing. The paragraph about not giving notice. We have had one, and I think we're faced with another situation where the owners of a home were deceased or left and then died, and no one really owned the property, and there was really no one to contact. It was one difficult situation that we had to intervene in. and I see another one coming in the borough. So I think that, I don't know how we could word this, but that would be a very rare situation where we would go in and do something without notifying the property owner. But it has happened. It's happened once, and I can see it potentially happening again in the borough.
Okay, moving forward. Yes?
Hi, my name is Laura Lim, and I live at 101 Valley Brook Road. My house is the last house in the Chester Heights borough on Valley Brook Road, and my property butts up against Concord Township and Green Creek. So one of the questions I had, I guess, for Dr. Block,
yes,
since you were working on this, did the council conduct a Chester Heights Borough resident business bamboo survey before incorporating this ordinance? Do you know how many residents and businesses' properties the bamboo ordinance is going to affect?
No.
Okay. My next question is, do you know how many property owners that butt up against, like me, to other townships and creeks in Chester Heights Borough?
Not offhand, no.
So I went online and I looked, and because I was trying to figure that out, because I do have bamboo on my property. When I bought my property, there was already bamboo there. The property that belongs in the Concord Township, they have an HOA, and their HOA does not address bamboo. But I have Green Creek, and I'm trying to figure out, if I were to chop down my bamboo per the ordinance and put weed killer in it, which is what it says, I can poison the roots, I would want to stop because I do not want to poison Green Creek because I'm a smart person and I don't want to do that to the watershed. Then who is responsible for the bamboo on the foot and a half, 3 feet of the Green Creek, the edges of Green Creek? So I reached out to Chester Ridley Crum Watershed, and on their website, they are responsible for 3 feet on both sides of the creek. So if I were to do that, would you be responsible to find them and have them take care of their bamboo on their edge of Green Creek if I were to get rid of mine? Because it's technically on my property up until Green Creek, but I actually do not own Green Creek property. Nobody owns the creeks, the waterway, and there's bamboo there. And the neighbor across from me on Green Creek, they also have a lot of bamboo that was there when we moved there. And we've got pictures from 5 years ago to today, and it's just growing. It is invasive, and we'd like to get rid of it, but we want to do it responsibly. And I'm not really sure, I'm not comfortable with the wordage in this bamboo. I kind of feel like you're forcing me to address this, but you're not giving me a lot of guidance specifically around the watershed, and I want to be a responsible resident, and I don't want to weed kill it like you're recommending up until the line. But if I get rid of my bamboo, I'm going to have bamboo on 3 feet of my side of the creek, and the roots are just going to pop back up. And so that's something that I care about. If I get rid of the bamboo on my property, the homeowner and the HOA for the Concord Township, their bamboo roots are still on their side of the property, and it will just come back. So you're putting me in this financial position where I'm having to constantly keep up with my bamboo to adhere to the rules and policies of the ordinance, but nobody else around me is responsible. So I'm concerned about that. I don't think this addresses my situation. And then I was curious how many residents or business owners have bamboo. I think that's important before you make this active, and everybody has to adhere to it. The only other comment I had was, I did look, and in Delaware County there are 74 creeks, and I couldn't figure out how many creeks or streams are in Chester Heights that this is applicable to, and that's, I'm kind of curious about that, because I can't imagine I'm the only homeowner that would have that concern, and that we'd want to provide them guidance not to put weed killer in the roots near the creeks. I think that's important, and that's not in here, and that's not documented in here. That's my concerns.
I just ask a question. Why do you feel you need to remediate the bamboo by the creek?
Well, actually, we want to get rid of the bamboo regardless of this.
Right.
We are responsible homeowners, and it's not indigenous flora or fauna to Pennsylvania, and we want to get rid of it. It was here when we moved in, and it actually is occupying the nicest part of our property, and it's the access to Green Creek where we could hang out with our children. And it is constantly growing, and we're seeing it take over the natural tree area and our forest area. And so we do want to get rid of it, but we don't want to be told we have to get rid of it. We want to do it smartly and in our own pace, I guess, if that's the right words. And I just kind of feel like you're forcing my hand, And then the other question I had was, is someone gonna come onto my property and measure with a tape measure the buffer zones from the creek edge ends? Because isn't the creek, is it a public property?
So that would, I mean, we're talking about to the roadway or to...
From the creek inland to the property.
Correct, but that's...
This is a public roadway.
This is a public roadway.
Right away.
It wouldn't, this wouldn't come under...
So I wouldn't have to worry about the creeks at all? So none of, I don't have to worry about that?
By the way, there's a very expensive way you can take care of your issue, and that's, one way to take care of bamboo is to put in a metal sheet pile about 10 feet down, because the runners can't go there. So if you were to remove it, the only way you prevent bamboo from a non-borough resident coming on there is, you know, potentially sheet pile, but that's pretty expensive.
Right.
But this ordinance wouldn't touch the creek issue. Yeah, so I don't think this particular ordinance would come with an issue to the creek. And no, it would not be a borough official coming onto your property to look at that.
That's good. But I just didn't think it read that well. That's what I'm trying to say. Because I had came up with all these questions because I felt like I would be responsible for it. So maybe changing the verbiage slightly. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Larry, third row, please.
Larry Ward, 222 Llewellyn. It's with regard to the bamboo. I mean, 100% of the bamboo that we're talking about is already existing in the borough, because nobody's going to wantonly plant bamboo after this ordinance. But the burden of proof, I mean, between two property owners. I mean, I just heard another property owner say it was here when I bought it. I mean, I've heard that many times over. It was here when I bought it, that's not my issue. But when it starts encroaching upon another person's property, what burden of proof does the property owner who it's encroaching to have to provide in order to start a path of remedy?
So, Mr. Ward, that's really an issue from a private property owner versus a private property owner. I really can't comment with regard to the burden of proof in a legal matter, but certainly if there is an encroachment on your particular property for bamboo, you have a right to self-help. It's a legal remedy that everybody has with regard to it. You have something that's encroaching on your property, you put the property owner on notice that there's an encroachment, and if that property owner doesn't do anything about it, then you certainly can take reasonable, necessary means within which to remediate that encroachment. And then at that point, if you expend certain dollars, you can certainly, seek legal, legal or litigation with regard to that particular cost that you now have expended to remediate the encroachment onto your property.
But that's assuming the neighboring property owner accepts encroachment, accepts that.
That's something you would have to litigate in the court.
So in order to remediate it, we would have to remediate it at our cost and then try and recover it in court.
If the neighbor wasn't willing to remediate it himself or herself, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Greg.
Question/comment for Mr. Montel. My understanding is that Greg Chestnut, 317 Willits Way.
Thank you.
My understanding is that Green Creek and Chester Creek are non-navigable waters, and therefore they're not public property. Is that correct?
I couldn't make a comment tonight about that particular comment.
So my understanding is that the adjacent property owner has the land rights underneath the creek. So therefore, if your property goes to the creek, then you own the property to the creek. So you don't have to worry about the 3 feet on your side. There's no easement on a creek, is my understanding. That's, maybe that can be followed up on, but my understanding is that the adjacent property owner owns the rights to the creek, not the water,
but the land
under the creek. Yeah. If that's where the property is.
Some extension into the creek bed.
Yes.
With regard to what that right of way or what that ownership would be.
Right.
I couldn't confirm that tonight.
I understand. Here. Right. But my understanding is you don't have an issue, I don't think, with the creek. That's how I would take that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Theron Schroeder, 200 Wawa Road. Just so everybody knows, most of the bamboo in Wawa all came from a guy named my great uncle Wordy. he owned the, he's got a landscaping place that was over on Ridley Creek Road.
Right.
Yeah, he planted all of it. I'm wondering about these sort of trees. It does say something about trees endangering power lines. I wonder about the definition of the word endanger. And also, we still have a telephone pole on Warwell Road being held up by a rope that was put there by PICO 3 years ago. So I'm kind of like, you want us to take responsibility for these trees? When clearly the people who own the telephone poles don't seem to put it as high a priority. And also, there was a tree from my property that was leaning on the power lines. I called everybody, and it took 6 months to a year. And it looks like it's gone. I don't know who got it. I was at work, but somehow somebody got that tree off the power line. But again, I mean, that's, you know, pretty low priority. I remember calling them, and they said, do you have service? I said, yes. They said, okay, well, then you're fine. See ya. They don't care. So I just don't want to get the borough involved in something that could be clearly between PICO and whoever owns the telephone poles, because they don't seem to put a high priority on it. Thank you.
Sure. Pat?
Madam Mayor, Mr. President, members of council, and my name is Patrick McFadden. I live at 282 Llewellyn Road. I believe that the original ordinance came out of a situation in 1994, give or take, where someone retaliatorily decided not to cut grass. But what I'm hearing today is if these violations are not on borough roads, there's not much we can do about it. This code doesn't really protect us as adjoining property owners from people deciding not to cut the grass, not to cut trees now, trees falling on houses, on cars. I'm not too sure exactly what this ordinance is doing. I know of two areas that have bamboo that are on Valley Brook and actually both on Valley Brook Road that sounds like we can't, as a borough, do anything about it. Plus the idea of landscaping and clearly, you know, public health, safety, and welfare is paramount to what we do as a borough. I was a building inspector for 36 years, zoning officer, etc., here in Chester Heights. So I guess I'm wondering, is this ordinance only for properties that adjoin or laying on top of the borough property and not dealing with county and state roads? Like, there's nothing we can do about it. Plus, if I have an adjoining property owner that's not cutting their grass, this ordinance does not necessarily help me.
If I may make a comment, the borough road issue is with respect to the bamboo. The grass ordinance is respect to all the borough.
But it sounds like, we're talking about setbacks in 33, but would it only apply to properties that are on borough roads?
That's only the bamboo part of the ordinance.
But so any grass situation or landscaping issue would be even on county and state roads. Okay, so and the remedy would be to notify the borough?
If you are not
successful
with your neighbor, then right. Yes, you notify the borough.
So something has been in existence for 5, 6, 7, 10 years. The borough has taken no action. Is that because nobody complained?
With respect to cut grass, there's been no ordinance.
Well, I mean, I think there was in the attempt, but so it's clearly a dangerous situation with trees falling on houses, on cars that have been in existence for at least 5 or 6 years. The borough's not taking any action. I'm not complaining about that. I just wondered how that was.
So we looked at a tree ordinance about a year and a half ago, and it received a lot of negative feedback from the borough. So at that point, we did not, in fact, it made the local newspaper. And so we focused on bamboo and grass, but we've not gone back to the tree issue.
Okay.
Some of us live in a part of the neighborhood where falling trees and winter storms knock out our power, very consistently, four times a year. Although we're kind of lucky, I think all the trees have now fallen down, so we've been lucky the last 2 years. So that has, you know, just from a power point of view and knocking stuff out, we did look at that about a year and a half ago. We got a lot of negative feedback. So we've not pushed forward the tree part of the ordinance. The grass ordinance, again, historically came because there was sightline issues and actually issues with people trying to sell property and property value issues and general look on that. So we did try to address that issue, and of course, the bamboo.
Thank you.
If I can make a comment to address the record on something I actually misquoted last time, and I just want to read this. Thank you, Jerry. With respect to the current ordinance and the fees associated with it, it's actually violators of the current ordinance can actually be arrested, and the daily penalties were $50 a day. I misquoted. I think I said $1,000.
I think the original ordinance that was proposed in 2017 at a public hearing did have $1,000 per day.
Yes,
and that's
yes.
What was reduced to $300.
Yeah, I do apologize for that misspeaking earlier.
Okay, anyone further in the back row? No more comments or concerns. Jerry, I turn the floor back over to you with no more comments.
There's no more comments. If council has no comments.
Yes. I just had one quick comment. Dave Ferkser, 2 Rolling Heights Lane. It just seems like the language of the ordinance is already leading to a lot of consternation and discussion from both a legal perspective as well as a neighbor perspective. The purpose of the ordinance seems to be primarily to protect borough roads. Has there been any discussion about potentially approaching homeowners where the bamboo is encroaching on borough roads and offering some kind of tax incentive over a certain number of years to rectify the situation?
Well, right now, actually, I'm not sure there is bamboo encroaching on borough roads. So this would be with respect to bamboo that eventually will make it to borough roads or people planting this. Most of the bamboo ordinance is really property to property issues between neighbors.
Okay,
we have several examples.
That seems a little contradictory to what was just discussed, but perhaps I misheard it, because I thought someone asked about if the bamboo was neighbor to neighbor, and the answer was no. So it just seemed to me like the ordinance was to protect the borough. So that's why I'm just suggesting. I think it makes sense if it is going to be an issue that affects borough property in the future, we can address it in a way that makes sense for the homeowner and the borough. Just a thought.
So, is the burden going to be on council members to enforce this?
Council members or the borough?
The borough.
I mean, we have a...
And who will police all of that?
If a complaint comes in, as noise complaints we get all the time, we send out our code enforcement officer.
Okay.
So that works with the residents to solve the issue.
So it would have to be a complaint to...
This is one of your name and...
Patrick McFadden.
Thank you.
282. So what you're saying is it would have to be a complaint.
Yes.
By maybe a private citizen before, or go to, say, Sue Timmons, just because it's your fun. Otherwise, there's not any kind of oversight. You're not anticipating an oversight by the building code official, like running around the borough.
Survey.
No.
Survey the properties that, or the borough, I'm sorry.
Really waiting for complaints. Is that what you're saying?
And I'll be, you know, I don't want to speak for the borough, but that's pretty much how all of our ordinances work. We have people come in and complain about noise. We have, you know, all our current ordinances, you know, signs, things like that. We do not have somebody that goes around and routinely checks that the ordinances are met.
Has there ever been, Laura Lim, one of my Bible friends, has there ever been any discussions about grandfathering in folks who already have properties that have bamboo on it? And if it's in the buffer zone and it's fine, it's contained, that's acceptable. But then if you want to sell your home, that you should disclose that on the seller's disclosure form. So when a buyer has it, they understand that Chester's borough responsibilities if you pass it. I mean, is that something that I'm just curious, since you said it's for future, you know, for future issues, is that something that you can consider?
Well, to me, the comment you meant was contained. I mean, if it's contained, it's contained. This is running bamboo that's not contained. It's hard to contain it unless you put in a barrier. So, I mean, I think if it was contained, I'm not sure there would be an issue.
I don't believe the borough would be involved in a person's sale buyer agreement. That's that there's a due diligence.
Right. No, I'm just curious. Like, how do you relay that? Since you just said the whole point of you wanting to pass this is for future borough residents and for future borough issues. So if I have enough acreage, technically my bamboo is contained, and it's in the buffer is fine. But it may be a certain point to where it will. The next homeowner, in theory, it will be their issue, and they need to be aware of this ordinance because there's going to be fines, you know. And I was just curious if you guys thought that far, or just you've only thought about this versus the ramifications of it for future homeowners.
I don't know if we get into.
Yeah, I don't.
Or is it just not?
I don't know if it's an issue that was that. Was discussed in that detail, at least since I've been on board here. Understand your issue, but again, it's a private homeowner, buyer, seller issue.
Okay, if there's no other further comments, we will bring this public hearing to an end at 7:52. And the public hearing will be ended at this point.
Thank you all. Appreciate your comments.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So where does it go from here? In other words, now we've had this discussion. Where do we go from here? What do you guys do at this point?
Based on the comment we had tonight,
right.
I'm going to advise council that we take all these comments under advisement
okay.
and go back to not the drawing board, but go back and revisit some of these areas that there have been. Concerned about.
And where would that be done? At a public hearing or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then if I check the website, you guys will
sure.
be noted. Okay. All right.
Next meeting is our work session, and that is what date would that be? The third week of this month.
Okay.
Or thereabouts.
Chances are you would be talking about it. Is that what you're?
I think so.
Okay.
What I'm going to suggest is that we have the transcript from tonight's meeting, and we all have a chance to look it over because there were some comments.
Well, let me just say, depending on the comments, it depends how much of a rewrite there is. So I'm not sure I would guarantee it for the working session this month.
Well, I'm sure we would comment on it, maybe not have it completed by that point.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, to 7:56, we're now moving back into we're moving into the regular council meeting. First up on the agenda is the opportunity for public to address council. If anybody has any comments? Anyone in the first row? Second row? Okay, with no comments, moving forward, we have the approval of the minutes of the February 4th regular council meeting as well as the February 25th work session. First up, regular council meeting, minutes of February 4th. Are there any comments or concerns?
I gave me a couple changes.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the regular council meeting on February 4th, taking into consideration the revisions that Susan has passed along to Megan?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved. Moving forward, the minutes from the work session on February 25th.
The minutes do not have a motion in time of adjournment, so I believe Megan is going to add that.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the work session on February 25th, including the revisions just mentioned by Susan?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. with no discussion. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is approved. Up next on the agenda, we have the treasurer's report for February. On that report, we have a total receipts of $43,312.80. And we have total expenditures of $67,162.64.
Excuse me. There was an addition, and the expenses are $69,076.01. I received the solicitor's bill today, so I think that was printed out, so that's all.
Okay. Any comments or concerns?
I have one question. It's been a terrible snow year so far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious how we're running versus budget on snow. I assume we're probably way over budget, but...
We're pretty close. I'm not going to lie to you. Look, snow removal is clearly an issue that we're going to have to address. We're going to have conversations about it. Obviously, talk to the necessary parties. But yeah, we're running close to budget as we stand right now.
We're
not even through the rest of this month, and I think they're calling for more snow next week. So it's certainly something that's going to have to be addressed.
How much do we have in the budget for that?
I think
it was 25.
No, I believe we upped it to 35, if I recall. We upped it to 35,000, didn't we, Sue, for the budget year for 2019?
That's my recollection.
Yeah, as I recall, it was 35,000. I mean, unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, year after year, we think we probably got a handle on it.
Yeah, it's...
We get blown away, literally. Okay, thank you.
Believe me, it needs to be addressed. I'm aware of it.
Not much. I mean, I'm not sure there's much we can do about it. But,
can you talk to somebody about that?
Yeah.
I'll put
Steve,
it on
you're
my...
correct.
$35,000. Yeah.
To date, not getting the last bill, we're around $38,000.
Okay. Correct. So, there to answer your question.
So there's no November, December.
Right.
No more snow.
I got it.
Thank you.
All right.
Any further comments or concerns?
Because they keep plowing in the driveway.
That would be the
Larry.
Roadmaster.
Larry.
When they
update on 101.
No, when they
no.
come. I just was, that's what
the
I'm working diligently on.
The snowplow keeps plowing in my driveway.
I
realize it's a cul-de-sac with all of those driveways on it, but it's kind of tough when they. Take 3 feet of snow.
Just wait till they're done.
Yes, I have shoveled it out.
Oh,
I'm trying to avoid that.
I will talk to them.
Thanks. Try to keep it in the center.
All right.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the treasurer's report for February 2019 with the revision noted for total expenditures to be the amount of $69,076.07.
So moved, Mr. President.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Sue, are there a couple other items you want to address, please?
Really, just one, that we received the invoice for the 2019 workers' compensation employees' liability, and it came in at $9,966. So it came in under budget. We had budgeted it for $11,000. And the second item Steve's going to mention about the state liquid fuels audit.
Okay, and we'll move that to committee reports.
Under finance. Okay. Yes, please.
Very good. Moving forward, correspondence. Gina?
Just two things to report. We did receive a letter from PICO on February 1st. Basically just giving us the information on who to call for natural gas emergencies, the call before you dig number, and the regional natural gas transmission line information, which I will post on a Facebook post. And I think it's already on the website, but I'll double check to see if we can put a link to that. And we received a letter from the Chester Heights Neighbors Alliance that they are doing their second road cleanup on Saturday, March 30th from 9 to noon, and they are looking for volunteers on Valley Brook Road.
Thank you. Moving forward, next up on the agenda, we have inspector's reports. Mike Sioka, sir?
Well, there were six fire-related incidents last month. Two in particular, we had last week, we had when we had the 50-mile-an-hour winds. One of the neighbors called in and said there were flames coming from a chimney at 105 Coventry Lane. And the response was overwhelming from the surrounding fire company. It was on a Sunday night. The homeowner wasn't doing anything wrong, and I believe that just was the house sits down low, and with the wind going over the chimney, it creates almost like the picture like when you use a straw to drink something. The air going over the wind rushing over it creates this updraft. And I believe a bunch of sparks came out. Because he was burning, he said, for about 3 hours. So he had a good base of embers there. And the fire company, they pulled out three big tubs of wood and embers and all, dumped them outside and wet them down. So, that wasn't a problem. And then there was a homeowner who misplaced a plastic in her dishwasher down below, and the element heated it up and caused the burning odor. The homeowners, they become very, and I always talk to them and tell them that don't be embarrassed. Because we didn't find anything, I said, would you rather have your house burned to the ground? So I said, you call, that's it. Don't worry, we'll respond. And on the other hand, I met with Wawa last week in regards to the new construction that's going to be on the Wawa Road. They're putting in a pad and they're redoing some of the area there around the old 240 Wawa Road house. There's a 20-foot pathway that they have that goes from the parking lot to the 240 Road. It's the back way. It's going through the woods. I requested that 20-foot pathway be able to support a rescue vehicle, because that would be our second means of like ingress to the property. The other way was it was you come in off of Wawa Road. So this way, because they're going to use it when they're bringing like tables and doing setups over there. So the forklift will be able to go there and use the road. But I want to be able to, if Larry has to respond, he'll be able to, he can tell his men, go ahead, go down that road, and it'll be safe. And so he was supposed to get together with Matt Hoopin, but Hoopin's doing the design to upgrade that walkway to more of a roadway. And that was what on there.
Great. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's good.
Thank you. Okay, up next, Larry, Roadmaster, sir.
I guess everybody should be getting a letter from Peacock about tree trimming starting up for spring. As you mentioned, Philip, you might want, they list the number you can call for their landscaping group. You might want to call and ask them to take particular attention to Valley Brook Road, from Llewellyn to Matson, as far as that goes, and maybe they could, eliminate some of the branches before they happen. Snow removal, we just discussed it. I'm watching them. I'm making sure that the storm matches the invoices, and beyond that, I mean, everything looks in order as far as that goes. With regard to 101 Valley Brook, I'm still trying to get PennDOT to approve what we already have in the other end of Valley Brook is the digital speed limit sign, but they, I've been talking to Paul Lutz, and it's you know, I don't want to say it's been a battle right now. They're thinking it. It's a permanent structure, and I'm like, no, this is a portable structure. I mean, Concord Township has changed all theirs to exactly what we have. It says solar powered digital sign.
Sure.
You know, and so as soon as I get that, and maybe even before I get the permit, you know, but weather's got to change right now. So, I mean, every time I plan to do it, it's muddy as anything. So,
what's getting lost in translation, Larry, do you think? Have they actually come out to take a look
no,
at?
The no, they have not.
Okay.
They have check boxes, and I keep checking other and saying, you know, digital speed limit sign with a small solar panel, and you know I'm almost tempted to just say digital speed limit sign, you know, mounted to a post, you know, and I've resubmitted it three times, and each time, you know, I get an email, you know, and I've called Paul and left him messages, and it's not been very productive.
Okay.
So, still working on it. You know, it's not something that's forgotten at all. So.
Great. Okay.
And I noticed with the state police reports that they've been, you know, they've been sitting around that area a lot more, whether it's up above or below, you know, the bus stop. So I know the state police are trying when they have a spare car. You know, it's a shift change time, so it's a tough time. But, you know, they either let the late car stay out and go down there if they're not busy. So.
Okay. Larry, thank you. Anything else?
That's it.
Great. Okay. Moving forward on the agenda, we have the solicitor's report. Jerry?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask council to consider a motion to ratify the release of a letter of credit previously approved at the work session meeting in a final amount of $14,456.50. This is the release for Hammond Asset, which has been well completed for many, many years.
Great. Do I have a motion to release the letter of credit for Hammond Asset at Dartington LLC?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
The floor is open for discussion.
Does this also allow us to close a bank account?
I believe it does.
Yeah.
Is that the case, Jerry?
I believe it's going to
escrow account?
No, the borough's escrow account was closed out in 2012. That was a part of a tri-party developers agreement, a letter of credit that had $15,000 left in it.
So we won't be able to close out a bank account?
Oh, it's already been closed out.
It's been closed
out.
So this is strictly just a letter of credit.
All right.
Any further comment or concerns? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved. Jerry, anything else?
Routine matters.
Thank you. Okay, moving forward, Mayor's report. Stacy, anything?
Report.
Okay, moving into the committee reports, school district, education, training, library. Susan?
School district. Our spring, if you want to say spring musical starts this week. Annie, that'll be the 7th, 8th, and 9th at 7:30, and then I believe the 9th, there is also one at 1:30.
Okay.
And tickets are still available.
Greg, anything? Great, thank you. Moving forward, finance assurance. Steve?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. So just for the benefit of council and the members of our community, the annual state liquid fuels audit was conducted and completed on February 17th. And in addition to that, the borough received our deposit regarding liquid fuels from the state on March the 1st, so Friday, totaling $58,531.66. Nothing more under finance for this evening.
Thank you, Steve. Moving forward, fire company finance subcommittee.
You just want to quickly update the council. I apologize for not being in the last meeting, but on February 13th, the fire department financial committee, which consists of myself, President Baum, and Mr. Kokoza, met with Sam Iannucci and Larry Ward to discuss our quarterly review. I'm pleased to say that the fire department looks very liquid in their assets. We were very pleased, you know, with the way that looks, and there will not be a quarterly payment from the fire protection fund this quarter. So we will not be making any payment this quarter because they're in very good shape. And that's my update.
Great. Thank you, Phil. Any questions, Phil? Okay, moving forward, nominating vacancy committee, Teresa.
Yep, thank you. Interviews were held on February 20th and the 21st for two open spots for the Planning Commission. Chris Leiser and John Leskey, President and Vice President, recommended the following nominations. I nominate Greg Homan to fill the vacated position by Drew Bohm, and therefore I'm making a motion to approve that nomination.
I'll make a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion.
I'll be honest, I'm going to have to abstain because I don't know any of these people, and while we get a recommendation from the Planning Commission, I can't vote for somebody I've never met. So.
Yeah, well, those interviews were open and advertised, and they're... Yeah, okay.
I was at every interview.
And their resumes were made available, and their letters of interest also. Okay. Any further comment or concern? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed?
I will abstain.
Okay, the motion is approved, and Philip abstained. Sue, if you could make a note of that.
Okay. Also, I'd like to nominate, upon recommendation of the President and Vice President, David Clark, to fill the vacancy that was a position by Ellen Fox. So I'm thereby making a motion to approve David Clark.
I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Wait a second. I believe I have to abstain, right?
That panel was advisory.
Jerry, do I have to abstain from voting? She's recommending my husband for Planning Commission.
It's an advisory
a quorum
position.
Majority vote.
Yes.
So
I'd rather abstain.
I would recommend that you abstain. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was looking for a written abstention.
That's fine.
Let's try that again. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion's carried. Let the record show that Councilwoman Clark abstained. Teresa, anything else for planning or for nominating vacancy? Okay,
I have a question about nominating vacancy.
Sure.
Is there going to be, what is the process for the alternate on the zoning hearing board that was advertised last month?
We are in the process.
Asked me, so I just want to answer.
We're in the process. I'm going to have Sue contact the zoning hearing board so they can set up interviews with the applicants. I think we had two people send in applications, I believe, or letters of interest.
One. I don't know. One I know of. I don't know if there are any others.
I'll see if Sue can make contact with the current members. Okay, moving forward, communication.
I'm sorry. I believe, and I don't know whether it's for the Planning Commission vacancy or the zoning vacancy, that one of them has a resolution that's required.
Okay.
So I would just ask that council make the motion subject to the appropriate resolution that needs to be signed by council.
Okay, so should we go back to those two motions, Jerry, and reword those?
Sure, you can, and to just make them subject to the appropriate resolution to be passed by council upon ratification of the appointments.
Okay, do I have a motion to appoint David Clark to fill the Planning Commission spot vacated by Ellen Fox based upon the appropriate resolution? Is there a motion for that?
So moved, Mr. President.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
The floor is open for discussion.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a resolution that's needed for the planning or the zoning. I know one of them requires a resolution. I just can't find it right now.
So. Okay. Okay, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
I abstain.
Let the record show that Susan abstained. And our second motion, do I have a motion to appoint Greg Homan to take the spot on planning that was vacated by Drew Bohm based upon the necessary resolution if required?
So moved, Mr. President.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Let the record show that that motion is approved and that Councilman Block abstained. Okay, moving forward, planning, zoning. I'm sorry, Gina, did you have anything under communications?
Just that the newsletter content has been submitted and we are waiting on a draft so we can put in all of our corrections. It's scheduled to go out on time.
Okay, great. Moving forward, highways, transportation. Jordan is not present. Planning and zoning, no report other than the two appointees. Stacy, historical, any report?
Not tonight.
Okay, public safety, no report. Public utilities, trash, recycle. I'm assuming no report since Jordan is not present. Borough property, parks, and open space. Teresa.
Just one quick announcement, thank you, that we have planned our Easter egg hunt for April 14th with a rain date of April 20th. Everyone will get more information via an email, and anyone who would like to help out is more than welcome to let me know.
Is that a Sunday or Saturday? Sunday?
I forget.
Sunday.
Okay. Sunday? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. I think that's it. Thank
Great.
You.
Great. Thank you. Moving forward, engineering, construction, inspections. Susan?
Yeah, a few more units sold at Brookfield, and we're up to 9 sales at Ladkin Valley. That's all I have.
Thank you, Susan. Moving forward, ordinance code review. Philip.
Just wanted to thank the public for coming and giving their comments. Based on the comments, we're recommending not moving forward with any vote on the ordinance tonight.
Sure.
Take a look at those comments. I'll work with our solicitor and bring suggested edits to the council for further discussion.
Great. Phil, thank you. Moving forward, old business. Any new business?
Yes, quickly, thank you. So I am the liaison for Chester Heights Borough and our state representative, Chris Quinn, who has an initiative for safe drinking water. He is having what's called a World Water Day. March is actually Safe Water Month. So it will be at the Glen Mill School. It's an event that is, it's gonna be on the website. So we have brochures, I believe, were dropped off here by State Representative Chris Quinn's
okay.
office. If anybody wants more information, I can also get that to you.
Great, thank you. Moving forward, additional period for public to address council. Yes.
Mary Key Burn, 13 Bishop's Drive. Susan, you said there were 9 sales at Lens Key Bell. How many total homes are there?
15.
15, okay.
And they actually, 4 of them are already occupied.
Okay.
I noticed the lights on, and you know, and being that it's February, I mean, I don't want to make any predictions, but it's selling very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Identify
Toll
yourself.
Brothers, I'm Gloria Nellis from Locktown. This weekend, Toll Brothers had all these signs at Chester Heights, and one of them was Franklin Station, and the sign was like at Wawa Road. Is Franklin Station? What's going
at the Franklin Mint?
At the Franklin Mint?
They're building townhouses at the Franklin Mint.
Okay.
You could have just asked me that.
I was just wondering where this
was. That
was an official borough question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Michelle,
say anything
else? I mean,
else?
It was looking cluttered. I was like, can I turn the signs out?
And actually, that reminds me, Marta, when the Chester Heights Neighbors Alliance does the road cleanup, can you, while you guys are out there, remove all of the
signs? We do. So, right, so the bigger things we kind of have to pile up and
yeah.
for them to take. But yes, that's part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
We, unfortunately, last year I had to take some of the dog signs down because they had gotten wet through. So
yeah.
You'd be surprised. I couldn't believe how much. And I think in the last 6 months, so much more has gathered.
Yeah. The Toll Brothers technically is not supposed to have any directionals in Chester Heights. There's no real estate directionals unless there's an active open house happening. And I want to say it's like hours before and hours after. So unless there's an active open house, there should be 0 real estate directional signs in Chester Heights. So if you come across them during cleanup, it'd be awesome if they'd get removed.
I hear you.
Thank you.
And if you want to pull them down as a sit,
believe me, I was like, can I just like lay them down? They're not doing. They don't belong here.
Okay. Anyone in the second row? Yes.
Marta Driscoll, 4581 I wrote. Mr. Siuko mentioned that they are beginning the construction at Wawa for the Blossom Hill, the pad that they're doing.
Sure.
So they were here November 26th, I believe, during the presentation. And I thought the next process was that they were going to determine whether or not they needed a land development.
Well, my understanding is they have not got any permits or submitted
for
permits.
So this is not moving forward. This is just, at this point, still in the
they're still
project.
Correct. They're still planning.
That was my question.
Correct.
Thank you.
And I think that did go to land development, Jerry, or did it not?
I think they were before the planning commission, Delaware County. They were also before the planning commission of the borough.
Okay.
There were specific comments related to that plan.
Okay.
And I thought actually Matt was going to be here tonight to maybe better.
Sure.
I think my concern, what I'd like to say is that, you know, Wawa purchased all of the properties surrounding the properties they're currently going to develop, which I believe are to be vacated by the residents there in 2020, which would make that plot of land a whole lot bigger for them to develop. And I just want to make sure that the borough is looking at it not just as this one single development, but as what they're going to project for the future for that whole site.
Sure.
Just a minute. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Anyone in third row? Sam, nothing?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving forward, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion approved.
True.
I think she was in a short skirt. It's a big jump up. I slide down.